It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. It does feel like an existential moment in the world, but also business. And I have been reading, thinking, and talking a lot about this idea of reinvention. Reinvention of self, reinvention of business. I don't know. We could go on. Today, I asked Greg Larkin to come on to talk to us about reinvention. He's actually was a Wall Street executive, an innovation executive, and he stepped away from that. He left that moment and decided to reinvent himself and is now actually leading a group that is helping other leaders reinvent themselves. It's called Punks and Pinstripes. And he has, I think, a unique perspective and vision around this idea. And I'm hoping that we can get into sort of dissecting the why and how of reinvention and what that might mean, what we could learn from it. So, Greg Larkin, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
I'm so happy to be here, Josh. Thanks for having me.
So you have this observation and you went through it yourself. You went through this moment of reinvention where you felt you needed to walk away. And you have observed that many, many executives, once they sort of hit the peak of their aspirations, just kind of turn around and walk away. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not everybody, but there's a lot of your basically hypothesis. There are a lot of folks that are doing this. I've seen and I know people who have done that as well. What in your experience is the instigation? Like what is happening? Maybe it's not the same, but what's happening where people are going, you know what? It's time to do something else and something else entirely different.
It's a great question. There's intrinsic and extrinsic triggers. The biggest answer is there's the four horsemen of reinvention.
Okay.
Birth, death, love, divorce. Maybe a fifth is illness.
Mm-hmm.
There's these existential moments that will shock anyone into a sudden awareness of how fragile life is, how short it is, how important it is to fill it with love and abundance and fulfillment. And anything in those moments when a parent passes away or a child is born or you get divorced or you fall in love, there's just like, what am I doing with my life? I'm only here for a little while. What am I doing with it? And work is going to come into that in a very heavy way. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing where if the success that you are chasing is no longer aligned with how you want to spend your finite time on Earth, you're going to feel an immediate jolt of urgency to make a change.
It's the quintessential paradigm shift. I know we've overused that term in the past two decades, but it does feel like you are slapped on the face, and all of a sudden your frame of reference expands beyond your work.
Your frame of reference expands beyond your work, but you also hold your work accountable to your life mm-hmm. in a way that you may never have before.
Yeah.
And I experienced that really vividly. when I worked on Wall Street. There was nothing more important to me than making more money and getting a bigger promotion and pushing myself and fending off all my rivals and proving everyone that I could do it. And at one point, I just was shocked into this huge awareness that there's so much more to life than this. And you mentioned the term walking away, and I think there's a better way to frame it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Am I unlocking the greatness that I can? Is this institution a catalyst or a constraint? You start to really question that at a certain point in your career. And when you start asking that question, some people are get that calculation wrong. They don't realize just how much the brand that is backing them is responsible for their success. People overestimate their own value all the time. But I think people are very good at estimating their own sense of fulfillment. And so that concept of like I need to realign my work with who I am and what I want to create. That instinct is very rarely false. You might have false bravado. You might have misguided confidence. You might be arrogant. You might think that you as an investment banker on your own is going to be greater than you as an investment banker at Goldman Sachs, which is usually wrong, by the way. But that sense that the path you're on is not who you are, that's really hard to unsee. It's really hard to, and that I think that instinct is usually correct.
I can appreciate that, but I'm going to challenge you and ask, is it a luxury to be able to act on that. If we are, if and your community are folks who have, had that opportunity to lead and maybe even become more than financially secure. I'm thinking about, does this principle expand? What can I learn? What can we learn? And I can see, maybe I have the gift of this opportunity, but I still have to pay the rent. I still have to, I have to choose to go and do a thing. How do you, well, so one, is it a luxury? And two, how do you reconcile that?
It is a luxury to do it recklessly and impulsively, but it is not a luxury.
Touche. Please say more.
There was a thing that I experienced on Wall Street, which was there were people who made money in order to get rich, and there were people who made money to get free. But it's a very different, no one talks about that when you read about, I made $1 million this year. We are inundated on social media of 27-year-olds who made $1 million and they can teach you the easy five steps that they did. What you don't know is what they spent it on. And you don't know if they used it to create financial freedom, where if they were they building wealth or were they getting rich? Were they accumulating that money to spend it, or were they accumulating that money so that in the event that they felt that they were not fulfilling their purpose professionally, they could do whatever they wanted to realign effectively? And over time, the more I spent on Wall Street, the more I met people making a tremendous amount of money. One of the instincts that I was able to hone, to the point where within seconds, I could identify, am I speaking to someone who is trying to get rich, or am I speaking to someone who is trying to build wealth? I could smell it on them. It was like a pheromone. And the sooner you are able to detect that, the sooner you are able to build strategies to accumulate wealth, the sooner you're comfortable living modestly and using money to save money. And making the appropriate level of sacrifice. Money buys happiness when it can also give you freedom. Money does not buy happiness when it removes your freedom. It can do both. And you can exit a situation which is detrimental to your well-being professionally. The sooner you understand that, the sooner you can act on that, the sooner you can manage your finances and be very clear about what needs to be true for you to have more freedom and the freedom to walk away on your own terms and the freedom to honor those in that inner voice, which you can't escape from, which is going to say, hey, this isn't you anymore. There is an amount of money that you have to save. There is an amount of money that you have to squirrel away. There are lifestyle, near-term luxuries that you might have to go without. But I think everybody needs to know what that means for them, for the way they want to live, for the life they want to live, for the things being able to differentiate between what they need and what they want. And is that a luxury? I don't think so. I think we live in a world where companies that are extremely profitable, like Amazon, just cut 30,000 jobs because they felt like it.
Or they could, right?
Or they could.
They could.
And your company doesn't care about whether you can afford it or not. So you have to prepare yourself to live in that world. And I think that means understanding that building wealth is essential, that those are the times we live in right now. And I don't think you can live your professional purpose if you don't also aggregate wealth.
So, when we talk about reinvention, we're talking about I was a this and now I'm a that. We're talking about more than we're talking about kind of a reassessment of one's own prioritization and the And I want to come back to, I liked this framing of where you are. Is it a catalyst or a constraint to, and I'll kind of add the build your freedom. When we're thinking about a realignment, reinvention, what questions can I ask to help me f identify that? Is this the right, let's just use job path? Where, how do I mean, you're basically, I can, you're kind of the language you're using is I can smell it, I can see it, I can, right? That's all gut. Is there a rubric? Is there questions? Is there some way that I can start to consider, assess the situation?
Yeah, there's a few. There's two that come to mind right away.
Great.
When was the last time you had to pull an all-nighter for work? And how did you, and was it pressure or stress? Meaning, the fact that you're going to have to hustle your ass off is an inevitability. If you hustle your ass off and it feels like a really good workout, you're proud of what you built. You solved a problem that you believe has to be solved. You have an understanding that this is a dent in the universe and someone's going to have to make it, and it happens to be you that was called to make that dent. So that versus my boss is a tyrant, I was threatened, I was forced, or I don't care if this company is acquired by another company. Like, the world is not going to be better. I don't think humanity will notice the fact that I haven't slept in 3 days. I only do this because I'm afraid of not doing it. You know, so is the driver of your hardest work moving away from or toward? Moving away from fear or moving toward mission? And for each person, that's going to be a different thing. I knew people on Wall Street who had a very strong mission of getting as rich as they could. They loved it. And they loved working, like pulling an all-nighter to allow one company to pay the right price for another was like heaven for them. There are others that were like, who cares? We're evil. This is evil. So I'm not saying there's one right answer, but I think people are very good, I think, at diagnosing whether their hardest work is rooted in fear or moving away from fear or toward a mission. So that's one really good litmus test. Think about your hardest work and think about how you feel a few days after you catch up on your sleep and you look back on it. Are you proud or are you disgusted? Do you feel depleted? So that's one.
Great.
I think another litmus test is, are the people who are leading you teaching you? Do you learn from them? Are you getting any degree of mentorship from them? Do you aspire to be who they are? Not have what they have, but do you actually want their life? Do they have skills that you would like to absorb from them? Once the answer to that is no, I don't. I would hate to be in their shoes. It may happen quickly or it may happen slowly. Very often, a series of political moves will happen that are gonna it's gonna make your job very uncomfortable. They're going to feel threatened by you when you don't feel like you can learn from them. And second, your own sense of growth and expansion, you're going to basically feel like you've depleted the resources of the organization for yourself. Beyond money, there's nothing in it from you, for you anymore. And I think the third one is just die on the vine syndrome. Are you building things that solve real problems and make real money that you're passionate about, that you feel great about, and they're getting killed and sabotaged for political bullshit?
Sometimes, always.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's no. So, there is no person who is an innovator or an entrepreneur inside of a large institution that hasn't experienced die on the vine syndrome at least once. Some people only experience die on the vine syndrome. And at a certain point, you start to feel that it's a constraint rather than a catalyst because you know how big the market is for solving the problem you can solve. And it's getting killed because of bureaucracy, self-preservation, self-promotion. And it has, and the reason things get the green light or not has to do with, you know, did McKinsey draft the PowerPoint deck to beg for permission? Rather than is this solving a meaningful problem in a differentiated way. You can only live through that for so many times before you're like, I'm giving a lot more to them than they're giving to me. I'm willing to try myself out as as an entrepreneur rather than an entrepreneur.
So that's gonna, okay, so that leads me to my next question. What happens if I test positive on any of these litmus tests? And I have realized that my time here doing what I'm doing, maybe it's on your own, maybe it's working for another organization or the wrong person. What's the next step? What do I do? And I want to call back to your point about not being reckless.
Yeah.
I want to keep that in mind because I'm trying to, I can be reckless. I'm very excitable. But I'm also trying to be responsible and be empathetic and represent the voice of all the people out there who have, a family, who are trying to do the thing. What do you recommend? How does one move forward?
Yeah, so you have to split that between low trust and high trust. And you have to split, there's kind of a 2x2 matrix. I hate to
All
say
right,
that.
we're
Kind of true.
I'm down for a 2x2.
Yeah. So on one level is the level of trust with the organization you have. If it's an organization that has a healthy, supportive culture, they're going to welcome you into their alumni community and do everything they can to keep you as friendly as possible and
I
set you
like
up
that.
for success on the way out. And
Yep.
if it's a low trust, they're going to be like, well, look, once you leave, you're dead to us.
Yeah. Fuck you on the way out.
Pretty much, yeah, and we'll sue you if you ever say anything about
Boo. Yeah, right.
it. So I think that's part of it. And then the other matrix is your level of dependency. Are you dependent on their benefits? Are you dependent on, do you have a spouse who's working? Are you the sole breadwinner? It's a really difficult situation when it's low trust and you are heavily dependent upon. That's incredibly hard. I've been that person, and we have a bunch of people in our community who are those people. And so I think you have to be much more thoughtful and strategic when it's low trust, high dependency. Because you then have to spend a lot more effort and attention in terms of where are my benefits going to come from? Where's my income going to come from? You can't just leave. Or what is the amount of time you have to wait and the amount of money you have to save for you to be able to meet your obligations and then not be forced into a situation where you just have to say yes to another shitty rebound opportunity that's not the right relationship for you. And so I think you have to assess that very carefully first. And the other point is like you have choice that you're not aware of. There's financial freedom you're capable of that you're not aware of. There are ways to downsize your life that you're not aware of. I think the hardest dependency is when you and your significant others have a different distinction between what you want and what you need.
That makes sense. Yeah, right. Because you
If
want
you're
to make
perfect,
decisions together. You're an ecosystem.
correct. I'm really lucky. My wife and I are about equally frugal. We're kind of
Yeah, that's
like,
that is a wonderful thing.
it's a great luxury I have. I'm Jewish, she's Scottish, we're both cheap. That's not true. We're
It's
both.
hard. It's hard-earned epigenetics, right?
That is
We've
correct.
survived.
Surviving the Highland clearances and surviving the pogroms,
Yes,
you know that you need to
you
save
scrape.
for a rainy day.
That's right. That's right.
But I know people for whom that's not true,
Yeah, of
where
course.
and that makes it a really difficult conversation. I know people whose relationship has ended when they realize they need to move on to their second mountain, and there's just total financial incompatibility between the simplicity of the life they want. They want to build wealth, and their significant other wants to get rich. In other words, the purpose of money is to spend it versus the first purpose of money is to save it and have freedom from it. That's going to create problems throughout life in general, but in particular in those moments where you feel the existential urge to reinvent, it's especially acute. I also think there's another thing that I don't want to overlook, Josh, is that it's a beautiful experience to grow into yourself in the aftermath of walking away. And sometimes the urgency of not having enough and having a limited runway and not having total financial independence. Urgency begets great reinventions. Urgency begets incredible self-awareness. Urgency is that just right injection of adrenaline when you wake up in the morning to like make 38 phone calls to reconnect with everyone you've ever worked with, everyone you ever went to college with, everyone you ever loved, the audacity to reach out to a stranger whose life you em want to work, company you want to work for, whose life you want to emulate, and be like, you don't know me. This is embarrassing. You did X, and I'm just deeply inspired by it. We live in a social media world where we're bombarded by spam, but someone who, like, I've had kids from McGill University read my book and reach out to me. I went to McGill, and reach out to me and read This Might Get Me Fired and be like, hey, I'm graduating from McGill in 4 months and I'm not really sure what to do, but I just was really inspired by your book. Not sure if you're ever open. I will answer that email every time.
You can tell, right? You can tell what's the authentic request.
Yeah, and I think people respond to that. I think most people where you're like, hey, you did a bunch of things and you list them, and I just admire them. And if you're ever open to a conversation, you know, you've been a huge and important part of my own learning. Most people who have are delighted to have had that kind of impact and will try to be of service however they can. And so I also don't want to make this into so much of a cautionary tale about economic preparedness that we that the listener doesn't see how much opportunity and like compassion is sort of the world will offer you when you're ready to make that leap.
Nothing inspires like a burning platform, huh?
It helps, yeah.
Right? Like that is, and it does feel like we are entering an era where we need to be much more self-reliant. We need
True.
to, and I would almost argue, and this is kind of where my mind is going. I would almost argue that even if you are not in that place where you want to leave your job or reinvent yourself, it would behoove you to start making those phone calls and reconnecting in community and right. Like that can only serve you. And I think the gap there isn't a burning platform. So, well, I'm not going to take that risk. But I think we're all in this place. And you pointed it out with the anecdote about Amazon. It's like, I don't know. No one, your job doesn't owe you shit. And you could be left out in the wind in a second. And we need to take more responsibility for our own paths. I mean, I think that's what we've been talking about here is like, is this what is right for me, not as what is right for someone else that I've been emulating or, chasing. And so this is, to me, this is a journey to the center of one's soul.
I think it speaks to, I think, can I frame it a little differently, Josh?
Of course.
The biggest risk that you as a professional can take in the modern era is to not know how to reinvent yourself.
That's the podcast episode title, I think, right there.
There is no loyalty anymore.
Nope.
Zero. Our parents' generation grew up with Mother Merrill and IBM, and it went both ways. You stay here for life, and you will never have to worry about money again. And neither will your kids.
Yeah.
And that
Yeah.
went from Union Steel all the way to Goldman Sachs.
Yep.
That's not it anymore. If they can squeeze another 2 basis points out of profit by firing you, your tenure means nothing. And if you are not constantly building community around how to support yourself, where there's good karma, you've shown up for people in their time of need when you did not need, and they will show up for you when you find yourself in that situation. If you cannot create and nurture that third space where you are able to navigate the volatility of modern professional life and reorient toward how to make money and be happy and fulfill your sense of purpose and mission in this world, you are going to be cast away and rudderless. It is an inevitability. It is an inevitability. I hope that changes. I hope companies have a greater sense of responsibility toward their workers rather than just their investors in the short term. But I wouldn't bank on it. There's no reason to be optimistic about that. It's a possibility, but it's not a probability. Certainly not a publicly traded company, maybe privately held. But I see it in punks and pinstripes 100% of the time. There are people who are part of this community that I have built who have a huge amount of money and never have to worry about money again. There are others where they find themselves in that situation where they have to reinvent. But because they have been part of the community for as long as they have, because they have shown up and been compassionate and invested, the speed with which they can get back on track and the amount of weightlifting they have already done to know who they are, what they need, and what are the circumstances that need to be true for them to do the best work of their life. Where do they deliver more return on investment than someone has given to them? They have those answers already because they've been investing in that community. They've been showing up for people in that community. And I think a critical part of being always on prepared for reinvention and having that like go bag ready is always nurturing community for when that moment visits you, because it will.
At some point, sooner or later, it's going to happen. Wow. Well, this has been a very intense and meaningful conversation. I know I've taken a lot away from it, and I really appreciate you sharing some of that hard-earned wisdom that you've been through and that you've experienced and you've helped others, work through. Greg Larkin, he is the community leader and founder of Punks and Pinstripes, a community for executives on the second mountain, unlocking greatness through reinvention. His community is based in New York, but it's very interesting to kind of to follow along and see what's going on, even if you're not in the city. You can head over to punksandpinstripes.com. Greg is also on LinkedIn. Thank you, Greg, for coming on Great Mondays Radio and sharing some of this, I think, some of these lessons that I think we're all going to have to really start to take serious coming up very, very soon. So,
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Josh. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays. And you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.